Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Jason, let's begin with you this week and that massive $178 billion state budget. Hard to wrap your mind around that much money. Despite the fiscal woes that the state's in, the governor is calling for record spending on infrastructure and the environment as well. How is he going to pay for all this stuff?
Well, that's a very good question, and we don't have a lot of those details yet. Both the Democratic majorities and the governor have indicated that they do not want to raise taxes. But if you're raising spending and you're not raising your revenue, you have to wonder where that's coming from. So I think you're going to see some taxes being raised in what they will say are wealthy New Yorkers. Unfortunately, the definition of wealthy is the person who has more than you. Yeah. So that's likely where that's going to come down, as well as new fees and perhaps some expanding gambling opportunities as well.
Yeah, we'll see. He did mention the marijuana thing. Not a lot, but I'm sure that's going to be one of the revenue sources that he's going to be relying on this year. Well, let's head to Harrisburg. And Michael Geer, you are at the March for Life. It's going on right now in our nation's capital. 47 years they've been doing this. And President Trump, the first president ever to attend the rally in person. Explain why this is such a priority for you every year to take part in this and what the challenges facing pro-lifers are in 2020.
Well, we have several members of our team from Pennsylvania Family Institute down here at the March for Life, which is the largest ongoing human rights march in the world. And it's all to stand for the sanctity of life, for protection of innocent human life from conception until natural death. And The challenges are all around us. We see, on one hand, President Trump coming to the march today and speaking out in advancing life, but we see in many states going in the opposite direction and a radical pro-abortion movement that's pushing through state legislatures around the country that are bringing that pro-abortion mindset, and we have to defend it in Pennsylvania and work to restore life nationally.
Well, let's head back to Albany, talk more about the fallout from the governor's budget address. As he was giving the speech, the pollsters put out a survey showing that the governor's approval numbers are up, still underwater, but they are up considerably from the last survey in November. Does this give him any leverage? I know he's got one-party rule there in Albany, but does this give him any more leverage, a mandate, so to speak, to kind of ram through his agenda?
Yeah, I don't know that it gives the governor a mandate. Essentially, when the governor's in Albany, he controls the agenda, the messaging, the media. There's so many things that help him and pad his numbers. But really what gives the governor the authority in this is that New York State has, by design, this very strong executive budgetary powers that we give to the governor. And so that's really where the power is going to come from, and ultimately a legislature that really doesn't challenge the governor on too many issues.
Yeah. Human trafficking legislation, a big deal this week in Harrisburg, unanimously passing the House, a series of bills, one bill in the Senate as well. The governor says he'll sign these measures. Why is this such a big deal in Pennsylvania right now, Michael?
Well, it's a big deal in Pennsylvania because sex trafficking is a major challenge in our state and, quite frankly, nationally. We see, whether it's adult bookstores or so-called strip clubs and other things, massage parlors, so many different ways that sex trafficking becomes a part of life in a state like Pennsylvania. And so to give law enforcement the more ability to engage and to help in these situations, to get people out of these traffic situations, and to prosecute those who are benefiting from it, whether it's those people who are running these establishments or actually having these women and children, sometimes men and boys, in the sex trafficking situation, but also then those who are using those so-called services for their own pleasure, if you will, to be able to prosecute them is going to make a real difference, I think, in this issue going forward.
All right. Bipartisan effort there. We love it. Let's talk about the race to replace Chris Collins, New York's 27th Congressional District. I believe this is your stomping grounds, Jason. Another Republican, Stefan Mihailu, if I'm saying his name right, jumping in the race. There are several others. This is going to be happening on primary day. How concerned are you that because of when this is happening, that it will give the advantage to the Democrat, Nate McMurray?
Yeah, that's right. It appears that the governor is going to call the special election, although he has not formally done so. He has indicated through his attorneys that were in court just earlier this month that that special election for Congress will be on April 28th, which coincides with the presidential primary day. And because there is this contested race for the Democratic candidates, that's likely going to drive a ton of Democrats to the polls. And so those voters that would like to support the Republican conservative-minded candidate are going to have to make sure they're working hard to get to the polls on April 28th.
Yeah, McMurray made it close against Collins, who, of course, was sentenced to a prison last week. So we'll keep our eyes on that race there. A big court case, Michael, the Little Sisters of the Poor, who you've talked about on this program before, getting their case heard before the U.S. Supreme Court. Explain why our listeners need to be paying attention to this.
Well, and especially people in Pennsylvania need to be paying attention to it because the case is called Little Sisters of the Poor versus Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's Attorney General Josh Shapiro, who is radically pro-abortion and I think has his eyes set on the governor's seat sometime in the future, he's the one that's going after Little Sisters of the Poor related to this contraceptive mandate that started with the Obama administration. That egregious mandate was relieved by the Trump administration. And then Josh Shapiro, our attorney general, decides to sue the Trump administration and try to force groups like Little Sisters of the Poor to continue to pay for and or at least to provide insurance coverage that covers contraceptives, including the morning after pill and others that can cause abortions. You know, Attorney General Shapiro needs to remember that groups of nuns don't typically need contraceptive, but this is the sort of heavy hand of the pro-abortion lobby at work.
Yeah. Jason, some in Albany want to expand the Child Victims Act for another year. Of course, we remember the historic law that passed last year, and not a day go by that we don't hear about another lawsuit that's pending because of this. Do you support another year to look back on these decades-old cases, or is a one-year look back enough, in your opinion?
You know, I'm not so sure there should have been even the one-year look back. I mean, I agree that there's been a number of injustices that have occurred regarding many of these child molestation cases. But the statute of limitations exists for a reason. And to now take it from the 1 year to another year, it's just highly problematic for schools, churches, organizations that many of the accused are deceased already. Witnesses may have been deceased. It's going to be very hard to mount a defense in cases where there is wrongful accusations and simply just people looking to also make a buck.
Yeah, the litany of attorneys love that, but a lot of folks maybe not so much. And then finally, Michael, the Independence Law Center this week sent out, for lack of a better term, a cease and desist letter to more than 50 public schools accused of censoring students' free speech rights, religious speech rights. In what ways are these schools violating these students' rights?
Well, we had some interns researching school policies and found that more than 50 school districts in Pennsylvania have policies or student handbooks that prohibit the students from making statements that say their faith or religion is better or has truth claims that are better, let's say, than other religions. And that's an unconstitutional violation. Now, we understand the notion of bullying, but those kinds of situations where some Pittsburgh Steelers fan makes fun of an Eagles fan in school can be dealt with bullying types of rules, but free speech and religious speech specifically should not be singled out, and that's what these school districts are doing. And basically saying if a student quotes Jesus as saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me," that's against the school policy, and that should not be part of school policies.
Yeah, and you've given these schools till, what, April 1st to rewrite their policies,
yeah,
or else they could face some legal challenges, correct?
Right, and courts have already ruled that those policies are illegal and unconstitutional. We're just trying to get the school districts to change their policies to line up with what court rulings have said.
All right, and if you want to learn more about that letter that's been sent to the districts, where can they find you online, Michael?
pafamily.org.
New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms, you've got your big Legislative Day event coming up. Jason, if folks want to register for that, where can they do it?
AlbanyUpdate.com.